Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. In this episode, we're going to preview the huge Alabama game with Missouri. It's a battle of Heisman contenders with Ty Sampson for Bama and Ahmad Hardy for Missouri, both having great seasons, putting up great numbers. Today is Thursday, October 9th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Happy early birthday, Jane. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow. Thank you all for tuning in. We now have 5,000 subscribers to our YouTube channel and still growing. Woohoo! Heading to 10. So,
yeah,
we appreciate if you're subscribed, hit the notify button. If you're listening and tuning in but not subscribed, come on, guys, subscribe, notify. If you're accessing us on the other platforms, Apple, iHeart, Spotify, and the like, RSS, go ahead, subscribe, like, follow. All right, guys, where are we now heading to this huge game? We got G-Money and T-Pain. G-Money, where are we now?
We are in the driver's seat, and I think we're going to put our foot on the accelerator on Saturday. I know we're going to unpack the stats and all of that, but I really like us. I think the line's wrong. I think it's going to, the line's saying it's going to be a 3-point game. It's not going to be a 3-point game. Bama's going to roll.
T-Pain.
Yeah, I agree. 3.5 point is the line, right? 3.5 points. Yeah. And yeah, I think we're going to win handily. And I like where we are. As Gary said, we are, all we have to do is win, baby, win. And we're good.
So, guys, to me, this is one where both teams need to win this game if they want to go to the playoffs. So there's a lot riding on it. We're 4-1, 2-0 in the SEC. I believe Missouri's 1-0 in the SEC. No, yeah, they're 1-0 in the SEC.
South Carolina.
Yep. We are in control of our own destiny. I want to win this game so we can stay in control of our destiny. As I keep saying on these road games, I don't care if we win by 1 or 30. I want to get out of there with the W anyway. I want DeBoer to start stacking road wins in the SEC. We went to Georgia. We got a scalp on the wall from that. Come on, let's go up there and get the Mizzou Tigers and get a scalp on the wall there. It's surprising. Ahmad Hardy was on Louisiana Monroe last year, and he is tearing it up. And then Ty's having a great season. I mean, Mel Kiper's hyping him up now as a first-round potential draft pick, having a great season. I listened to Kiper chop it up a little bit, and boy, he had high praises for Simpson. He said the one thing that Simpson does is he won't throw the ball away. Other than that, he really had nothing to criticize him about other than he just won't sometimes just throw the ball away and move to the next down. But high praise for Ty. I mean, Ty's the driver on our team. I'm really excited about this game. I'm going to be biting my nails. I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be pacing the floors. But I'm excited. G-Money, come on, bring some more.
Well, in our pregame for Vandy, I gave you 7 words. I'm giving you 6 this time. Central, Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, Lafayette, UMass. They haven't played anybody. They are overrated at number 14. They beat a Kansas team by 11 points at Missouri, who lost to Cincinnati last week. Come on now. Come on, guys. I understand they're undefeated. They have this super favorable cupcake schedule. All their games are at home. They're about to taste something they hadn't seen yet.
And they beat South Carolina by 9 points, I believe, right?
Yes.
That was at home too, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they don't have anything like a Georgia on their schedule, even a Florida State, even
a Vandy. We've played three teams better than them. FSU, yes. Vandy, and Georgia are all better than any team they played.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And guys, they were losing to Kansas in the second half, and they were down to South Carolina. They had to like get it in the fourth quarter to put those games away. So they didn't win easily either one of them at home. So we're battle tested. They're not, but yeah. Still, here's my concern: DeBoer on the road in the SEC.
That monkey's off our back.
Okay, I hope so. I hope so. Show me again, baby. Show me again.
We're battle tested.
That monkey back on our back.
Yeah, we're also Alabama, and they're not.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Hey, let me just say this. Like, look at one metric, okay? And this is not the end-all be-all. Look at recruiting, okay? I love to compare rosters. We're at an A+, okay? They've been number 20 this year, number 23. Okay, that's not bad. That gives you, in the scheme of the college football landscape, a B+ roster, maybe trying to reach that A-, but you're not even an A, and you're certainly not an A+. We've got the players against them. Now, they got some individuals we'll talk about that are legitimate players, and I don't mean that. When you go top to bottom late in the game where you got to start subbing in some of those front seven guys or some of the defensive line, we've got them, and we've got a huge advantage there.
Depth. We definitely have depth. We have better players. I would say our roster is at least an A roster, if not an A+, and they've got a B+ roster. They're a good team. They're a top 40 team. I'm not convinced they're a top 15 team. I think we're a top 5 team, but we got to go show it. You know, none of this resting on your laurels. I don't think this team's going to do that. I think this team understands that, okay, great, we got to win at Georgia. Great, we got our revenge against Vandy. But that doesn't do anything if we don't go to Missouri and take care of business. We got to go to the Show Me State, and we got to show me. I think this team gets it. Last year's team did not. I don't know how much that was. You can blame it on DeBoer. I don't know how much you can blame it on the coordinators. I don't know how much you can blame it on team leadership. But I love the leadership on this team. I love the growth of this team. I love what they do. I think if we play 10 times, we beat them 8 out of 10. But what scares me is maybe we catch them on that 2 out of 10 where they can get us. I was going to throw one quick thing out, and then I want some more stuff from you. So when you look at our schedule, ESPN has us with a 63% chance to win this game. The rest of the games, according to ESPN, that we have on our schedule, we have at least a 72% chance of winning the rest of our games. Now, we play really hard teams at home, which helps because DeBoer's better at home than on the road. But so according to that metric, this will be our hardest game that we have to play just because of the road versus home figure. But I thought that was worth noting. But again, our guys just got to show up and play it. We got to grind it out. We got to do it.
Those same metrics say that Texas is a top 3 team at the beginning. I mean, I think they're just wrong, and I rarely say that. I rarely say they're wrong. I will give a nod. Their offensive coordinator, Kirby Moore, is a very creative guy. He plays tempo, quick reads, motion, a lot of similar things to Ryan. And I saw a stat that I thought was really interesting. He's the – in 2 years ago, in 2023, they had the only – offense in SEC history that had a 3,000-yard passer, a 100-yard rusher, and a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, they've got some scheme. They've got some, you know, their offense, they're putting up all these points against cupcakes. I think they'll score on us. We guessed 28 against Vandy, and they would have done that, but for our two deep red zone turnovers, okay? So we were kind of on the money there. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Missouri's offensive production is going to be at home against that defense that looked pretty good in our defense in the Vandy game.
Well, Gary, I'll say this. I think the fact that you said at home, yeah, I mean, I think the intangibles, like, you know, at Missouri, they have a bye week, 11 o'clock game. I think those things keep it closer than it normally would be. I think the first half will be kind of a dogfight because of those things. And hopefully, I think you're right. As long as the coaches show up again for the sixth time in a row, or fifth time in a row, the first week they didn't make it to the Florida State game for some reason. They were still at home, I think. But if they come this week again with it, I think the second half we kind of dominate, I'm hoping. So I'm thinking they'll score 21 or less, and I think we'll score 35 or more.
I love your optimism, guys. I just want to win by one. I want to get out of there. I want to get a W anyway we can get it done. I'm leaning more towards 31-28, 35-31. I think it's going to be a shootout. You know, the funny thing is they've got a guy named Bo Prabula. Penn State may be wishing they had him now. They may have kept the wrong quarterback, which, you know, that's another discussion for another day. We want to chop up all the quarterbacks. But they've done really well in supplementing their roster with those transfer portals. They've really hit on five or six guys that really make them a powerful team. And Gary, to your point, I think this year they're going to have a 3,000-yard passer in Prabula. I think that Ahmad Hardy is going to be in contention for the Heisman all the way. They seem to have a good line, and he's a good back, a really good back, going to play on Sundays. And I think they've got receivers, so I think they're going to have another 1,000-yard receiver. What's the name of their – they're a really good receiver. They've got one receiver that's really – Kevin Coleman. Yeah, and you know, we wanted Kevin Coleman, so he's a really good receiver. So I think their offense is going to be tough to stop. And their running game, let's see what Kane does. I'm super fascinated. If I didn't care who won, I'd just be glued just because, number one, playoffs are on the line. Number two, can our defense – because they have a really good running game – can our defense shut them down when it's good versus weakness? And then we've got good versus weakness on the offense because we have a loaded passing game, and probably their passing defense is their biggest weakness. So super fascinated by all that.
You know, like Gary said earlier, the teams they played, I mean, can they substantiate these stats they have? Can they verify them? I mean, yeah, the number two in total defense, I think it says Missouri defense, the number one in run defense, the number 10 in the nation in pass defense. But what would our stats be if we played Kansas? And I mean, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, if the roles were reversed, we'd be 5-0 and we'd be number one in every category if we played those five teams. So it's, well, like,
take our stats from Wisconsin and La Monroe and multiply them by, you know, five halves or whatever.
Right.
There you go. I mean, we have them too. Yeah. I will say this, in terms of stats, I saw a stat that I thought was very interesting. We always talk about how Ryan and the combination of Ryan Grubb and Ty are really a potent mix, and how Ty is hitting these short and intermediate passes as good as anybody in the country, for sure. The stat that really caught my attention is Kevin Riley, our catching running back, has identical stats receiving to Josh Cuevas. Josh Cuevas has made some more visible catches at critical times, but Cuevas is 13 receptions for 126. Kevin Riley's 13 receptions for 124. Those are almost identical. That tells you something. That's not even talking about our stud receivers. I mean, we're gonna move the ball on them with a passing game, and they know it, and they won't be able to stop it.
And yeah, Throw the jam factor in there. Jam's humming. Jam is back. He's healthy, and he's really separated himself from those other backs. Gary,
but John, they have the number one run defense in the country, man. I'm scared, baby. I'm scared. And can Ryan Williams, if he plays, can, you know, Horton, can these guys get open on this number 10 pass defense? I'm scared.
Don't be.
As long as Grubb doesn't get too cute, we're going to march up and down the field. I mean, even in the FSU game, they did not stop us. We had four trips where we got across their 40-yard line, missed a field goal, and we turned it over three times on downs, and really because Grubb abandoned the run. But since then, he's had a great run-pass mix. You throw jam in the mix, and then also using the pass, the short pass, in lieu of the run, I don't know how they're going to stop us. So I'm not worried about scoring unless we just do some boneheaded things. It's what can our defense do, and how for real is this Missouri offense? Because they're going to run, they're going to pass. They seem to be good. And has our defense learned the lessons from how poorly we started against Vanderbilt and how strong we finished? Have they made those adjustments, those corrections? Because, guys, we're going to see wheel routes. We're going to see shovel passes. We're going to see reverses. They have a dual threat quarterback. I mean, why would you not? Drinkwitz, I think, is a really good coach. They're going to test us. They're going to see if we've learned our lessons. They're going to give us a dose of all sorts of stuff. It's going to be a creative test.
Prabula may be a dual threat quarterback. He does have some rushing stats that are better than Ty's, but he's not a dual threat quarterback like Diego Pavia is. And speaking of running, I mean, Ahmad Hardy is a very legitimate back, but we've seen him in this sense. He's that 5'10", 210-pound little block. He's got a great explosive play. Cedric Alexander last week, 5'10", 210-pound explosive. Now, he broke that 65-yarder on us. He wound up with 76 yards on four rushes, so his other three rushes, he was 3 yards a rush. Our rushing defense, let's give them some credit, they're starting to improve.
Yeah, you know what? Guys, follow this logic for a second. We're more talented than they are, right? We don't argue that. Yep. And I feel like Grubb and Womack are slowly figuring out who the best 22 players are. For instance, I heard Grubb talk about it today. He said, hey, we're still shuffling on the offensive line because we're trying to find the best five and where they go. I think Drinkwitz, he already knows who his best 22 are, and they're going with it because they don't have the depth and all the luxury of playing this guy here and this guy here. I think on defense, Womack's learning, okay, maybe Dejon Lee is a better guy on the edge than Dominique Jackson. So I think we're moving parts around, and that's why you're seeing us get better every week. And I think, as Grubb said today, Grubb said Ty, just like we said, Ty's getting better every week. I mean, he's only played five games. And every week, Ryan Grubb said he's seeing improvement in every category. And he said the sky's the limit for this kid. So I think you're going to see a better Ty Simpson this Saturday than you did last Saturday, which is scary for Missouri.
Yeah, a little editor's note, it's Damani, not Dominique. But I will say this. He's got that open competition like Saban had. He's not as explicit about it. But that everything earned, nothing guaranteed, nothing given. I love that mentality. Like, you know, Damani has made two – you could argue three really high-profile mistakes that have cost us big, the out and up in the Georgia game, getting sealed off in that big run in Vandy. Let the best players play. I mean, that's why they come. They know if they want to get drafted, they're going to have to play against the best players. You might as well have that competition now. I will say this, though. They've got – I was looking at some of the defenders that Missouri's bringing. They've got their own Yanze Pierre. They've got a kid named Damon Wilson. This guy is same height, weight, fast twitch. He has 3.5 sacks already. He's an edge rusher. That guy's a legitimate player. I've watched a little bit of tape on him. I say tape. I watched some highlights. He's a really good player. They've got an excellent linebacker, Josiah Trotter,
yes,
who has 28 tackles. So they've got pieces, but we could say that about almost other than La Monroe. We could say that about every team that we play. Well, they've got excellent pieces. They don't have the top-to-bottom A-plus roster. That's going to make a difference.
Guys, I don't think Missouri's better than Georgia. I might be proven out later that Missouri is, but I don't think that Missouri's better than Georgia. We handled Georgia in Athens. We can do it if we're focused. Here's a funny thing to think about. Ryan Williams, I know it's kind of up in the air. He's probable, but not cleared for sure that he's going to play. I'm not worried about Ryan Williams playing. If you'd asked me a month ago, who would I rather play, Jam or Ryan Williams, I would have said Ryan Williams. Now, I would rather Jam be in the lineup because Jam's really impressed me, and Ryan's putting up numbers, but we are so deep at the receiver room, we can afford for him not to play, whereas I want Jam in there because he's clearly set himself apart.
You told me, hey, this week, sorry, man, Rico Scott's got to play over Ryan. I'd say, okay. Yeah. You know, that'd be fine. Or Brooks has got to play over Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay. I do want Jeremy out there the whole game, though.
Absolutely. And Zay Horton's good. I mean, but we have a loaded room. I mean, I think maybe other than Ohio State, who's got better receivers than we do 1 through 8? I don't know anybody.
Ohio State may be the new Voldemort. I saw a stat on them today. Their red zone touchdown percentage they're allowing is zero, five games in.
Oh, yeah.
That is scary. Ohio State.
Well, they shut Texas out last year in that goal line stand, and that was a much better Texas offense last year than this year. Another story for another day. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But I was just thinking that they've got – I would think they're the only team in the country that can compete with us for having NFL-level receivers in the wide receiver room besides us.
Yes.
And I know, maybe we'll get to play Ohio State at some point this year. And when you said about their red zone defense, it made me think of Jack Nicholson's Joker in Batman. Where did they get a load of me?
You've been practicing that all day. Boy.
I have, baby. I was like, how can I get this in tonight? Where did they get a load of me?
Pretty good.
All right. So we've got some comparative stats, which I always love a good comparison here. So Bama, it's kind of funny that we've only allowed 16 points per game with how we got just, you know, carved up by FSU. I would have thought that number. So, I mean, points per game, if you're just comparing defenses, we're about the same. Yards per game, they're allowing 203. We're allowing 285. But you remove the FSU debacle out of there, and we played much better, you know, played much better teams. Passing yards, we got a better pass defense than they did, and we played better teams. Now, our rush defense, we know that's been kind of a weakness, but it's trending in the right direction. We like that. And we have forced 9 turnovers, which is kind of – I didn't realize that. So I'm a little shocked at that. You know, thoughts about our defense versus their defense?
I'll just remind T-Pain, Bray Hubbard is the safety. That's the guy – I'm kidding. In that prior episode, he's like – I don't know his name, of the guy that.
What's that guy's name? Dominique.
What's the guy? SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
We're doing what you want to see a team do that's not going to go undefeated. It's too late because the FSU game. We're seeing progress, and it's like a stepstone progress. My only concern is let's not peak too early. Let's save a little upside juice for Auburn and, you know, the playoffs for sure. But boy, we're scared. That's why we're talking about the line. The computers are wrong, I think. I mean, I guess we'll find out. But a 3.5 point line, I don't know. They haven't played anybody. Cheat code, like everybody uses ChatGPT. Well, I used it a little bit earlier today. I was like, just give me a comparison. They're like, Missouri has much higher upside than Alabama. I was like, this is what's called AI hallucinations. You're out of your mind. I'm not going to rely on your analysis. We'll see. I'm talking a big game, but we'll see.
I mean, listen, Alabama averages 325 a game in passing yards. That's against some pretty stout defenses in those 5 games. Georgia, Vanderbilt's defense is not bad. FSU's defense, I know we didn't have that many yards probably in the FSU game.
We had a lot, though. Ty had like 250 or 260.
Did he?
Yeah, and they had a bend but don't break defense. We moved the ball against FSU. We just couldn't make a field goal and put it in the end zone when we needed to.
And Missouri – honestly, I think with their schedule, they should be better than number 10 pass defense against those teams. So I think we're going to light them up for 400-plus yards in passing.
Well, and if you're rushing 292 yards a game, which is what Missouri's averaging, but they're playing terrible teams. I mean, Vanderbilt shredded South Carolina. You just look at Kansas, their defense isn't good. They're, you know, they're Big 12, which all those Big 12 teams are known for having high-powered offenses and throw it around the yard, but they can't stop anybody. And Missouri went in there and shredded them. And I think Missouri's a top 25 team. They're not a playoff team, I don't think. And that's my prediction, is this is a playoff elimination game. Missouri's going to get exposed. We're going to beat them. My biggest concern is – DeBoer on the road. I want to see him win 3 out of 4 SEC games on the road this year, or go get all 4, not 1 out of 4, 2 out of 4.
So there are 2 questions based on kind of the tenor of what we're saying. A, are the Missouri folks watching the Bama Hour and getting some bulletin board material? And B, are the Bama boys getting some rat poison? Well, I don't mean to give you rat poison, but y'all are playing great.
Yeah, you guys are. But guys, if you take those comparisons on the offense that we have that you sent us earlier, John, if you compare those stats and you multiply times the factor of however you do that, adjusting for strength of record and strength of schedule, I think we got all those categories. I mean, I think we're better than all of them.
T-Pain in the house. Excellent point.
So we get another test this week, dual threat quarterback. You think Diego Pavia, how we did against Diego Pavia, we've now shown that we can handle a dual threat quarterback, contain him. Is there a road difference when you got a dual threat quarterback in your building and you got the loud crowd and, you know, they're having to go hand signals and all that? You know, is our defense going to struggle more because they're going to have the crowd effect?
Well, they'll do great because they'll do great there because it's a away game, so the crowd's quiet. When
that's what I mean is that they've got the crowd effect that it's going to bother us, but they'll be quiet when they're on offense. So are we prepared for? And I think Prabula is a good quarterback. I think he's a good dual threat quarterback. Thoughts on that?
I think it's hard to get super loud and excited when it's an 11:37 in the beginning of the second quarter. You asked about the Wisconsin game and how was the crowd. It's like, yeah, you know, I think it makes a difference. I mean, night games are certainly, I think Missouri is a tough place to play in general. I do. I think they've got a good home crowd, but 11 o'clock kickoff neutralizes that a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think normally you get 3 points for a home field advantage. I'd probably give Missouri 1.5, 2 points. I don't think it matters. I just want our guys to be ready to go at 11 a.m. That's all. And hopefully we can put the foot on the gas in the first quarter.
So we beat the stew out of Missouri last year. We knocked their quarterback out of the game, and I think we beat them, 34-0 and shut them out. And what about the revenge factor?
It's there. I don't think it matters, but, I mean, it's there. And – if I was Drinkwitz, would I be using that as a motivating factor?
Yeah.
We used it against Vandy.
Oh, absolutely, we did. And that Vandy loss, coupled with the miserable game at Oklahoma and Michigan, was a wake up call for this team. We couldn't get out of that funk last year, but we had to kind of out with the old, in with the new. But this team, I think they get it. I will say they have a two-headed rushing monster. Amar Hardy, NFL caliber. But Jamal Roberts is averaging 7.3 yards per carry. Now, again, was it in mop-up duty against bad competition? Because, guys, I did not go back and watch Missouri tape and look at all that. But they got two guys that and their third back's averaging 5.9 yards per carry. So, you know, they
– well, T-Pain timeout. T-Pain timeout. I like that. Hey, Gary, I've been waiting on that all day, too. Question, though. John, is Hardy NFL caliber because of who he's played this year? Or is he, I mean, historically, he's amazing. Because I'm just thinking, if Jan Miller played these five teams, whoa, watch out.
If he was healthy. Yeah.
He's healthy, I mean, is that what we're going on? He has 7 yards per attempt against Kansas and all these other teams, and that's why he's NFL caliber?
Well, he's talking about Jamal Roberts in terms of the second guy.
Yeah, right? Jamal Roberts also averages 7. Both of their top two backs both average 7.1. I don't know what our backs average. I didn't want to.
What do you expect them? What do you expect them to average this Saturday?
I think Hardy. I mean, I hope we can hold Hardy under 4. I mean, that's what I want to do is hold him under 4. I'm worried about that. I'm not going to lie. And I do think Hardy, from everything I've read and heard, and I didn't go back and watch his film, he's a legit running back. There's a reason why they went out and got him. Is he was one of these guys that developed in college. His tape in high school wasn't that great, so he's at La Monroe, and then the guy just gets better, and he's fast, and he's strong, and I think he's legit. He's a legit D1 NFL running back. Roberts, I don't know.
Well, and averages can be deceiving because, like, Cedric Alexander at Vandy, he averaged 19 yards, but it was because he didn't have that many carries and he had that one breakout play. I would say, you know, under 4, if we do allow a gash run, I think that would be success. I do. 3.8, if he has a 25-yard gash run, or a 30-yard gash run, I'd be very happy with that because that means we held them to a lot of ones and twos or zeros.
Yeah. Hey, guys, you know how in basketball and football, for that matter, they say defense travels? And, you know, sometimes you're not hot, but your defense is always going to be hot. I don't know if that's true for this team, for Alabama, but here's what I like about this team. I really trust Ty Simpson, his leadership, his, you know, his calmness, I think, and his command of the offense. So I think our offense is going to travel well. I really do. They've shown it against Georgia on the road, and he's gotten better. It sounds silly, but in the last 2 weeks, I think he's gotten better. And so I think he's going to go into this environment and handle the offense in that, you know, environment. And I think they're going to hold the fort down while the defense kind of gets its legs and while Kane kind of learns what they're trying to do, because they've had that bye week. They're going to show some new stuff on us. And so I'm hoping at halftime we're ahead by 7-10. And then the second half, like I said earlier, bam.
So here's another thing. Second half at Georgia. Cannot believe we held them to 7. That was huge.
Vanderbilt.
And then the last three quarters against Vanderbilt, that bend but don't break mentality. If we can continue to do that and just limit the chunk plays, don't give up the reverses for, you know, to put them at the 5-yard line or to take it to the end zone. Don't let Kevin Coleman, who's legit, he's an NFL-level receiver, don't let him get behind the defense and go over the top and he takes it to the house. Don't let one of these running backs get out on a wheel route with no safety over the top. So the defense, bend but don't break, baby. We got to be, you know, we got to have 7 men in the box if we're going to stop this running game. But we've also got to be really assignment disciplined, and we got to watch the eye candy, because Pabula is a dual threat quarterback, and they're going to throw that stuff at us. So, but I'm confident that we had those quarters we put together, and we're able to do that after we started out and got gashed by Georgia in the first half, and then got gashed by Vanderbilt in the first quarter. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, and look at two trends. So we've been talking about penalties, how we started the season in the wrong. That's going down. And I would say busted assignments. We had a bunch of them at FSU. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, and yes, at Georgia, they had that drop pass on that post play that he got behind the safeties. I don't know if that was just, you know, a great effort or maybe part of a busted assignment too. But we're not making bad mistakes. Now, the Damani Jackson seal block, that was one against Vandy. There's no question. John, I think you talked about one or two more in the last episode, but we're getting more consistent, more disciplined. And so we're maturing. I think that's a good word. We're maturing as a defense, and the crowd noise and that kind of stuff, could that factor in? It could, but that's going to be more when we're on offense. But I expect us to be able to hold them. You know, they scored 29 against South Carolina. Will they score 29 against us? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we can put up 35 or 42 on them if we don't get – if Ryan Grubb doesn't get too cute. Keep the run – I love the run-pass mix. You know, keep it 50-50. If you go 55-45 to the pass, I'm fine. But we don't need to be 65 pass, 35 run. And I'm fine as long as if we use some passes in lieu of the run with the short run. But we're going to get guys open. We're going to gash them. We've just got to stay disciplined and don't get behind the chains. Don't, you know, if they pin us back, don't do something stupid and allow, and that was a play call thing. Don't put Ty in that position to take a bad sack when you're deep in your own territory. And he took a bad sack when we were in the red zone on another drive where he had to settle for a field goal. So we got to avoid that stuff. And Ryan, be very focused. Don't go ADD. I think, Rick, you're the one that was talking about he goes ADD sometimes. And it's just like, ooh, Mr. Cotta, I got to do this. Let me show you what I can do.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about an assumption that we haven't mentioned yet. You know, we've had three pretty tough teams, Georgia, Vandy, and I mean FSU before that, but three in a row. One assumption that I want to make explicit, I'm assuming that Tyus doesn't get hurt.
Right.
Like, Keelan, I think, is amazing, but he's not Ty right now. He doesn't have the game experience. He hasn't had the growth. He wouldn't play like Ty would, quite frankly. And so, you know, you could say, well, we always assume no key injuries. But I do think if we lost Ty right now, we would be a completely different team, at least for a little while. So one of my assumptions I just want to make explicit, if Ty's healthy, we're going to rock.
Well, and the question is, if Ty got knocked out of the game, is it going to be Austin Mack or Keelan? I mean, I think right now Austin Mack's coming in.
Probably. I thought we said 2A, 2B. I'd go with 2B.
Well, I've heard that Austin's still listed as 2 on the depth chart, but that'd be an interesting thing to see if they'd give them both. And I don't want to go down there. Ty, you're not getting healthy. Ty, you're going to be good. Just don't take You know, don't take unnecessary hits. Throw it away sometimes. But it would be interesting to see whether it just be Austin or Keelan, or they'd give them both a chance. I don't know.
Are you guys old enough, I'm sure you are, to remember Fran Tarkenton?
Oh, yeah.
The scrambler on the Minnesota Vikings. Ty, okay, so he doesn't have great rushing stats, even though eyeball test, he looks pretty quick. But his scrambling ability is outstanding.
Roger the Dodger. You remember Staubach, yes. His ability to move and set his feet and find people? He's been brilliant in the scramble drill. Brilliant.
Yep. Yep.
For all of our many thousands of subscribers, these two guys are a lot older than me, so I have seen I have seen videos of these guys.
I do have a couple of gray hairs in my beard, just a couple.
and me G-Money, too.
I shaved, G-Money. I shaved.
I can tell. And use the lotion. Place the lotion in the basket.
Must use the lotion. All right, guys, let's go with some matchup factors, and we'll just kind of, you know, put check marks where they go. Okay. Bo versus Ty. Who's got the check mark there?
Come on.
Ty. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Ty is our guy.
Playoffs.
I got to ask the question. And Bo hasn't been tested like Ty has. Ty is battle tested, and he's tough as nails, and he's got poise. That ability to scramble but not get sacked is amazing how he can do that. And I mean, that's Fran Tarkenton-esque. It's Mahomes-esque. It's Roger Staubach-esque.
Archie Manning.
Yeah, Archie.
Yeah.
Except he's playing on a better team than Archie ever had. Archie always had terrible teams.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to give Ty the nod there. Canes, all right, this is a question. Can Canes' defense stop or limit Bo Prabula, who may be the best dual threat quarterback Alabama's faced so far this year?
He won't look better than Castellanos did, I don't think. And I don't think he's better than Diego Pavia. I'm not saying by a large factor, but I think we face comparable players, if you want to put it that way, and certainly did better with the more recent one than we did early in the season. So I would say yes, but it of course depends on how you define contain. If you put some numbers on that, we'd be able to say yes or no.
Well, I mean, limited. He's not just shredding us like Pavia did when we went to Vandy. I mean, he's shredding us. Yeah, he's holding the ball. He's moving the chains, putting in the end zone. All right. So here is what I would call Bama O-line versus the Mizzou D-line. Who's got the advantage there?
That's probably a push or Missouri.
Gary?
Missouri's got some. I already mentioned Damon Wilson, but I think they've got a decent – again, they haven't really been tested. I mean, last week, UMass, the Minutemen. When you're playing a team called the Minutemen or 2 weeks ago. But if you look at their measurables and things like that, they got a pretty good defensive line. I'd call it a push because I think our O-line, like T-Pain said, we're experimenting – and they've gotten a lot better, so I'd call it a push.
Well, and I don't know that Mizzou has the depth on the D-line. That's one thing. We can wear those guys out and get in the fourth quarter and do like we did against Vanderbilt and start gashing them. Because Vandy didn't have the depth.
Josh Pate said he thinks Missouri's D-line is a bigger test for our offensive line than even Georgia's D-line. I was like, wow, I don't know. So we'll see.
All right, the Mizzou O-line versus the Bama D-line.
I mean, they got those gaudy rushing stats, but again, it's hard to separate the opponents. Mm-hmm. I like our rotation, you know, Edrick coming in, and we've talked about Pierre and London Simmons and all these young guys, and Keenan's healthy, and it's just like, wow, I would give a slight edge to Bama, because I know our roster better, quite frankly, and I believe in those guys, but I'd give a slight edge to Alabama.
Yeah, I think for the entirety of the game, edge to Bama, for any given play, it's probably a push. But I think we'll overwhelm them with the depth and young players.
You know, two teams we've played had really good O-line, so we're battle-tested. And that's FSU had a good O-line with Gus Malzahn, and Vandy had a good O-line. Both of those O-lines may be better than Georgia's O-lines. So we're battle-tested. They're not. We're going to see – I think a push at a minimum, and We're going to find out. But I think that we can wear on them because they don't have the depth we do, because we have depth in our in both our lines and they do not. All right, how about the Mizzou running game versus the Bama D?
I give a slight edge to Missouri, maybe.
T-Pain took the words out of my mouth. I would, just because they have that two-headed monster, I would give them the edge. And even though our rush defense has improved, it's still not elite, so I give them the edge.
All right, guys, I'm going right with you. So Bama passing game, so that was the Bama run. What did I just do? Mizzou running game versus Bama D. So now we'll do the Mizzou passing game versus the Bama D. I'm back on track now.
Bama D.
Absolutely. I think we can. They've got one really high quality receiver who's going to play in the NFL, Kevin Coleman. I'm not convinced that the other guys are that good. I think we can shut them out on that. But we've just got to. Guys have got to do their assignment. They can't bite on the eye candy. We should be able to stop them, but we just got to be disciplined. All right. And next question, and this is a long one, so sorry, guys. Just kind of hang with me. Can Bama play assignment football and disciplined football in defense and not give up those big explosive plays on third and fourth down that get you beat?
I would say this. The answer is probably yeah, sort of. I think we'll give up two or three explosive plays, and I think giving up two or three explosive plays, which I would define as 25 yards or more, mm-hmm. for purposes of this game, I think we still contain them, giving that up.
Yeah, I think getting rid of all major explosive plays on third and fourth is probably not realistic against any good offensive team. So I think no, but yes, we'll do enough to not get beat.
So I'm counting on us learning our lesson from FSU. And you give up one or two, you can live with that. We're not going to give up 6-8. We cannot do that or we're walking out of there with an L. I do not want to see the L. I want to see the W.
Yeah, that's right.
W.
That's right.
So, all right, next question. Bama running game against the Mizzou D. Are we ready to take charge and actually do that? I mean, the Bama running game against Mizzou D. What do you think?
They probably a push.
I would say slight edge to Alabama because Jam showed us something. And I think he took our running game from a small committee to a chairman and then some cast of characters that are going to support him. And I think Ryan's going to give him some pass options. I think he's going to maybe even overtake Kevin Riley as our number one receiving back by the end of the season, but we'll see.
But, Gary, this is the number one defense in the country stopping the run.
Well, they gave up 31 to Kansas. Points-wise, I mean, Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably us. We probably have a nod in that category, too. But I was – yeah.
That's my biggest concern is their running game against our D and our running game against their D. Those are the two areas I'm concerned about. And
I think those two are pushes in my book. Those two you mentioned, and I mm-hmm. think their passing to our defense is us, and I think our passing, which you're about to get to, our passing to their D is us. So I think we win those other two categories pretty handily.
And I'm in agreement
team,
with
let's
you.
Let's not talk about special teams.
Yeah, we'll get there. But yeah, so you brought it up. You brought it up, T-Pain. Bama passing game. Elite, baby. It is elite. Yeah. I mean, what can we say? I love
it. Enough
said. Yeah, it is elite. Okay, head coach matchup. Who's better?
DeBoer. I would say the guy who's 9-1 against top 10 teams was named AP Coach of the Year 2 years ago. That guy, Kalen DeBoer.
I think DeBoer's better, too. I'm glad he's coached. But I'll tell you, I respect Drinkwitz, and I think he's a really good coach. I think it wouldn't surprise me if one of the – let's say Penn State fired James Franklin. Would you try to go get Drinkwitz? I would. I think he's a great coach. But I love our coach, and I think DeBoer – DeBoer, go show me you can win another big SEC road game. Come on, let's start stacking them, baby. Make me a believer that on the road you're as good as you are at home. So that's what I'm hoping for. All right, OC, who's better?
Ryan, baby.
I would say Ryan, but I also would give a nod to Kirby more. He's, like I said, I gave you that 2023 stat. He plays a really creative offense with a lot of shifts, a lot of quick reads. He finds ways like Ryan does to get his playmakers the ball in space. And so I'd give us an edge, but I wouldn't say a huge edge, simply out of respect for Kirby Moore.
Yeah, they've got good coaches, guys. I think they have good coaches across the board. They're not a poorly coached team. So, all right, defensive coordinator, who is better?
Who is their defensive coordinator?
I don't even know.
It's like Deloney or Baloney or Baloney or something like that.
Well, Baloney may be better than Ham or something. It's probably a push. I don't know. We have better athletes, so I think I give a nod to us, to Kane.
I wanted to fire Kane after the first quarter last week. I got more comfortable with him in the second quarter when we were tied. And then when we shut him out in the second half, I'm like, okay, he's growing on me. He's growing on me. But he needs to grow on me more. He needs to grow on me like toe fungus and stick and really show me that he's got the moxie to do it game after game, because he's not up to Grubbs level yet. So I'm hoping after this game I'll be like, okay, he's really dialed in. He's got us playing well. He can handle the dual threat quarterback. We're not getting gashed on these chunk plays.
Yeah, Gary, at the game, John was going, unfollow, follow, unfollow, follow.
Well, T-Pain, you talked about Ryan Grubb having an ADD play here and there. I mean, honestly, Womack had an ADD game against FSU. It was just like, what just happened there? So he's learned his lesson. I think he likes his job. He's got some of the best defensive players in the country on his roster. Like T-Pain saying, it's hard to separate his job because we have such good players on defense. So I'd call it a push.
All right, here's the next one. Special teams, who's better?
Next question.
Probably them.
Them. I hope this game does not come down to that.
It won't.
I hope that's not the case, because that'll be tough. I mean, you know, if it's fourth and whatever and we got to have a field goal and we're on the 35-yard line, you can't kick that. Could we kick that? I don't think we can. I don't think there's any way we're going
to
make
not to win the game. No,
right,
way.
Period. I mean, I don't think any time in the game. I mean, you're desperate doing that.
Either go for it or do a little pooch kick, something.
So that, whoever you are, you, that five-star kicker that's like listening to us from somewhere in Iowa or whatever, come on, we need you.
We do. We need you. All right, guys, poison penalties. Can we once again have less penalties? Can we go play disciplined, controlled football and not make bonehead penalties? You believers?
Man, I don't know much about Missouri's poise and how many penalties they get. I think we're getting better in both categories every week. So I like us there, poise.
Yeah, I think we'll stay poised.
Because I think most of the time, our penalties, it seems like, are on offense. At least, you know, I'm trying to, you know, you see illegal procedure and holding. And I think we're getting better in both of those. And so I really think Ty's doing a good job getting us in the right, you know, right formations. I think his snap, you know, remember how Milroe, something he would do would mess up our center and he would snap it when he wasn't supposed to, or I don't know. I just think Ty has a much better command of everything. And it seems like the line responds well to his cadence and his, whether it be silent count or what.
And we still have some holding issues. We had that early drive in the first quarter against Vandy where Parker Brailsford and Cam Newberry, and that's what cost us any points because we're left with a 46-yard attempt. So right. It's like, guys, if we're going to hold, let's spread it out and not do it on the same drive where we get 0 points.
Right.
But we did overcome. I mean, Ty's been really good about overcoming penalties as long as he's not like first and 25.
Yeah.
But he's been brilliant at that. So I love that factor. All right. in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments, that ability to tweak things as you're getting exposed. Do we think DeBoer's better now and that he's going to be better than Drinkwitz?
I think he's better, but when Missouri's beating Central Arkansas 61-6, what does that mean? What does an adjustment mean?
It means,
adjustment is third string or fourth string?
Yeah. It means do that again.
All right. Who do you trust to win a shootout? Because I think it's going to be a shootout. I don't think we're winning 35-14 or 35-17.
John is drinking the Kool-Aid, Gary. We're trying to tell you, John, it's not going to be a shootout. It's going to be us by 14 or more.
Yeah, John, you keep saying, well, it's not going to be a 35-14 game. Add those up, it's 49. The over-under is 51. So, I mean, you're going to have to allocate those points somehow. I don't know. I think we are going to cover the spread handsomely.
All right, we've talked about this. Strength of schedule. We're battle-tested. They're not. Anything else to say about that?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Why will DeBoer beat Missouri and get his second big SEC road game of the season and stay undefeated in the SEC on the road? Tell me why.
Because he has better players. He has arguably the best quarterback in college football right now, and he has an improved defense. And I think those are three pretty good reasons.
Okay, T-Pain.
Yeah, I agree. I think he has the best roster. He has a superior, I mean, in my opinion, he has a great offensive coordinator, maybe better than Missouri, and defensive coordinator is doing a fine job right now, getting better every week. And, yeah, so better players, great scheme on offense, so we end up winning the game.
All right, the only thing I'll add to what you guys just said is Jam Miller's healthy and he's playing great. And that extra ingredient. And our coaches, I think we've learned from the FSU game, and they're coaching better, and they've got the players' attention. And we're not going to lose this game because the players go in there overconfident and not focused. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I think our players, I mean, who knows what they're thinking, but they probably have something on their mind. And I'm not saying you're overlooking this game. But I think that locker room, especially under Ty's leadership, I think they're starting to believe a little bit, and you can see it on the field. The resilience in the Vandy game, might we face adversity in the Missouri game? Sure. Might we get down 7-0, 10-0, 10-3, something like that? Yes, but our guys will come back. Pedal on the metal.
I love the resiliency of this team. I love the focus of this team. I love that the coaches are now focused too, because I really would argue the coaches were not focused like they should have been for FSU, and I think they've gotten locked in since then. Credit to them. All right, guys, shall we make predictions?
Yeah, I'll go. Kind of on the heels of what I said earlier, I like the team chemistry. I like the team leadership with Ty at the helm. I like our talent level, and I like our coaching right now. So I got to have us at 42-24.
Woo! All right, I can live with that. G Money.
I'll take the baton from T-Pain there, and mine's a little more modest, but I think it final score, Bama wins 34-24.
I love it. I hope you guys are right. I'm a little more scared, 35-31 Bama. I think we get the win, but I think it's going to be a nail biter.
Hey. What do we get for who wins the predictions here? We got to go back to these.
What are the prizes?
Who's noting it? And I don't know. I haven't gotten that far, guys. I'm doing the best I can, and just to get here on time so we could record this.
Hey, John, in the future, go ahead,
T-Pain.
For our future sponsor segments, one's going to be my shaver called Freebird.
Speaking of sponsors, we got Fana. Can you see it? Got the Fana.
Oh, yes.
We went to the orange tonight, so that's good.
All right, guys, parting shots.
That was mine, baby. Freebird. Just kidding. I think we're after this weekend, John, we are sitting at, what would that be, 5-1 or 6-1?
5-1. Yep.
5-1.
Halfway point, we'd be 5-1.
I think we'll be 5-1, number 6 in the country, and on our way.
My final parting shot is the word contrast. I want to contrast the tone of the Bama Nation in the moments after the FSU game to where we are today, and be thankful for what our coaches have done, be thankful for what our players are doing. It feels really good to be an Alabama football fan, and that's how it should feel.
That's right. And I feel bad for rolling Coach DeBoer's yard after that first game. I'm so sorry.
I take it back. If you confess.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, guys, if you remember, I said I didn't blame that FSU loss on the players. I blamed it on coaching. And I felt like the coaches needed to coach better, and I think they've really responded. I'm really happy. And we have not hit our ceiling. I mean, it's all in front of us. If we can stay healthy, if we can get to 5-1 at the turn halfway through the season, that'll be huge. We'll be 3-0 in the SEC. We'll be in control of the SEC. We'll be in control of that playoff. To get into the playoffs, I love it. I think we can do it. Guys have just got to be focused on it, and I think they can do it. I'm confident in this team. I don't think that on the road we're going to lay another egg like we did at FSU.
I agree.
All right, guys. Thank you all for listening, everyone. Subscribe, follow, like, hit the notify button for the podcast wherever you stream us. God bless, and roll Tide.
Roll Tide.